locked for the world and the dimension that we live in, and God is not subject to his creation. And he's not made from pieces of it. And God had to explain this to Moses. You remember the story of Moses, and here's where I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses killed the Egyptian, he's considered the stepson of the daughter of Pharaoh or whatever it happens to be, and he sees one of his kinsmen being mistreated, and then he turns around and he kills the Egyptian taskmaster, and then he flees for his life, and he's out in the middle of the wilderness for 40 years, and he sees this burning bush, and God calls him to himself, and God's telling Moses, hey, look, you know, I got something really important that I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to tell the people in Egypt, tell my people in Egypt, he says, this is what I want you to tell them. First of all, I want you to tell them that I've heard your cry. Most powerful word in the entire Bible is the word cry. It is pregnant and packed with emotion beyond belief. He says, you tell them that I've heard them, and then you go down there and tell them that I'm coming, I'm going to do something about it. 400 years has passed since these guys were in bondage, and for them it seemed like eternity. It's not eternity with God, though, is it? God says, you tell them that I'm coming, and Moses said, by the way, you know, we don't quite remember who you are. Can you please explain to me who I'm supposed to say sent me? And God told Moses, you tell them that I am. I am has sent you. So I want you to read with me Exodus, starting in verse 2, chapter 3, starting in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, and the bush was burning, and yet was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet and place them on which... Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptian oppressors oppressed them. Come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you shall serve the God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people, I am has sent me to you. God always has been, always will be, always is present. I think there are things that you thought would always be there. I think that we all think that things through our time period or as we grow up, we think are always going to be there. Health is one of those things that I always thought was going to be there. You know what I mean? Where you can actually jump out of the back of a pickup truck and you don't have to think about it? Where you can actually walk down a flight of steps and when you get to the bottom of it, you don't actually have to think about turning because you're afraid that you're going to hurt your knee and it's going to bother you the rest of the day. When you're young, when you're in your 20s and your 30s, maybe even your 40s, you don't think about it. You just think that this is something that the old people talk about because they don't have anything else to talk about. They done talked about everything, so now all they're going to do is talk about bad health. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Talon, it's going to happen to you, buddy. But we think that certain things are just going to last forever. Like when you go through that stage of that first puppy love. Now, some of you are probably fortunate and you've married the person that you first set eyes on. You became infatuated. I know that it's sitting right beside you there. 3 weeks later, you're broke up. It didn't last long at all. Remember the first new car that you had? Do you remember how it sounded when you opened the door? It had just a little bit of a suction sound because the plastic or the rubber around it had that real tight fit to it. And you sat in it, it just felt new and it smelt new. And you just thought to yourself that this car is going to last me forever. I've got 48 payments on it. It's going to look as good the day that I pay it off as the day that I got it. And 6 months later down the road, you got McDonald's napkins laying in the floor beside you. Things are always changing on us. For those of you who like pets, I mean, I've lost a couple of pets that mean everything in the world to me, and I really didn't realize what it was going to mean until after they were gone. Marriage, parents, siblings, spouses, things that you thought were always going to be there. I had two great, and I'm say great, I'm not meaning great as far as a generation room, but I had two great grandmothers. They were kind and they were gentle and they were thoughtful. And even when my kids were toddlers, I always thought that they were going to be there. They're gone. 30 years, 40 years removed. Things that we think that we can trust all the time because they're always going to be there are always shifting and always letting us down to some degree. Even pastors let churches down. Spouses let spouses down. God is forever. He is forever. And our Father in heaven has invited us to go on this eternal journey with Him at no cost to us whatsoever. I find it fascinating to think about the attributes of God. Because we're in this life cycle, which really came about due to the fall. I do believe that we were meant to live for eternity, but due to the fall, we have ended into this life cycle where we come, we grow up, and then we die, we go back to dust, and then next generation comes along, so on and so forth. Since then, the Bible tells us that we ought to invest very carefully in the things that really matter because of the fleetingness of time. And the Bible tells us that the investment that we ought to invest ourselves is in God. That is the most important thing that we can invest our lives in. Jesus tells us that we are to invest our time in Him. Jesus Himself described Himself as the God of Exodus chapter 3 by seven acclamations of I am. I'm eternal. I was with God the Father at the beginning of creation. I am. I always will be. Jesus says that I am the bread of life. I am that which provides sustenance for you because I love you. I am the light that shines in darkness in order to reveal your need for repentance and coming to a holy God. I am the door. I am the means by which, or the portal by which that you can go into heaven. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I mean, these are always statements. Always. I am always the good shepherd. I'm always going to lead you to a good place. I'm always going to be there with you. I am going to care for you because I know your needs and I'm going to meet them. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, the life. Always true, always trustworthy. And Jesus, his seventh I am the vine. Reiterating our need to be able to be tied in and plugged in to the person of Jesus Christ. So since we are mortal beings and we need to invest wisely in the short time that we have here, and Jesus asks us to invest ourselves into him because he's good, he's kind, he's caring, he's truth, he also tells us something that when everything else is fleeting and always goes away, Jesus tells us one of the most important things that I think that I can hold on to. He says, I am never going to leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what you're going through. And here's the kicker. Divorce rates somewhere around 50%. And, you know, if you've been divorced and you're here, this has nothing to do with what I think about good, bad, or indifferent to divorce. But here's what I'm going is that a spouse, because they're angry with you or you're angry with them, simply says, I'm done. I'm done. God says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I don't care how many times you mess up. I don't care what kind of attitude you got. I don't care what side of the bed you wake up on in the morning. I don't care. As long as you trust me, as long as you love me, as long as you believe in me, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs. We're going to go through that. I'm going to lead you through that. I'm going to bring you to a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, because I love you and I ain't going to leave you nor forsake you. Moses met God hundreds of years after Abraham did, and God told Moses, go tell my people the eternal one has sent you. And when Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees as to who he was and by what power do you do these things, Jesus replied in John chapter 8, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what Jesus meant when Jesus said, I am. Because listen to the response when Jesus told the Pharisees who had been asking him these questions when Jesus said that I am. He said, so they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. Isaiah said his name is Eternal Father. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government shall rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And Paul told us in Colossians that he is before all things. And John wrote in 1 John, similarly to 1 John 1:1, but he expanded it, and he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John constantly picks up this theme that Jesus is the eternal God. And then he does that in Revelation. Jesus had to comfort John when John saw him and John fell to his knees. And John wrote, when I saw him, I fell like a dead man and he placed his hand on me saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am something that you can trust in. I am somebody that you can trust. Hebrews is a fascinating book, and Hebrews is always talking about the eternality of Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And David said of him, the Lord has sworn and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the eternal one. He is the ancient of the days. God's word makes a big deal about his eternality, and that eternal God has graciously invited us into an eternal relationship with him. That he's not going to snag out from underneath of you. That's why he told, put his hand on John and comforted him and said that I'm from everlasting to everlasting. He said, don't be afraid of me. He says, I'm the first and the last. So as we come to a close, like all attributes of God in the Bible, the attribute of the eternality of God is meant to build us up and to cause us to trust God more and more. Revelation, when I say revelation, I'm not talking about the last book of the Bible. I'm talking about the entire book of the Bible. This book is meant to reveal who God is so that we can trust him on levels that we never thought that we could before. You know some of those people who've got such faith in God. It just pours out of them. And it comes from reading this book. And since God existed before time became and he brought everything into being, we can trust that there's not some other competing entity in another dimension that somehow we're just going to stumble across, because God is the eternal first uncaused cause. The eternality of God speaks also to the immutability of God. He can't, won't, never will change. Remember all the things that you thought were here forever, your health, your material things, your relationships, your relatives. God's not going anywhere. You need to know that God's not going anywhere. You ever see a spouse grieve the death over another spouse when they die, that it changes them? They become almost catatonic, where they can't do anything. They become immobile. Or you see a parent lose a child, and it just upends their world, and they feel as though that there's nothing else to live for. Because they were on such a steady course, all of a sudden, something came in there and disrupted it. God says, I'm on a steady course, and there isn't nothing going to upend me. There's nothing that's going to disrupt me. I am here for the long haul. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11, and he says, this is hardwired into our DNA. It is part of our makeup. There is this craving and this curiosity about eternal things. Now listen to what Solomon writes. He says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. That is built within our hearts, that we want to know about this eternality. We can't, but it's hardwired within us. I believe one day we will. God deposits that in each and every human being. One of the things that it does is it speaks to how vastly different we are from all other life forms. You know, people, whenever you start talking about humanity being a different life form, and you talk about, you know, a spirit that's within them and a soul within them, sometimes people ask about, you know, animals going to heaven and things like that. The Bible's not about that, and I don't know whether they'll be there or not. I know there's going to be a big banquet, so I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a vegetarian banquet. Just thought I'd toss that out there. Some of y'all be thinking about that. Man, preacher's really mean. But it does talk about how vastly different we are above all other created beings, that God has deposited within us this curiosity and this longing for eternity. animals act primarily out of instinct. Some of it's learned behavior, but this is hardwired within us, and God wants to invite us into an eternal relationship with us. Even atheists and non-believers have this view of eternity that they don't quite grasp, because they don't want to die, because they know that there's something after that and they just don't know what it is. As Christians, I know what's after this, and I know who has invited me on this journey, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Talon to play us a song of invitation. No, not. I'm going to ask Heather to play us a song of invitation this morning. The fall has interrupted that eternal relationship with God. Now, it does not interrupt eternality. It does certainly doesn't do anything to affect God, but what it does do, it has to do with how our relationship's going to pan out with God for all of eternity. Jesus died on the cross so that we can spend eternity with God on the positive side, because he paid our sin debt. But if our sin debt has not been paid, then we will stand eternity on the outside of God for all of eternity. Jesus has offered you, and he's offered me, an opportunity to repent of our sins, to trust Jesus for our salvation, so we can spend eternity with a God who is never going to change. Would you do that this morning as Sister Heather plays us a song of invitation?
Please stand.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we go out into a world that frankly is dying, we see evil flourishing, and we We can be discouraged, but we thank you for today's reminder, Lord, that you stand outside of creation, that you hold it all in the palm of your hand, that you have it under control. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of Christ, through whom we know we have eternal life, that this temporary home is only a temporary home, that one day we'll be with you in glory forever and join you in that eternal home. We pray, that, Lord, that you go with us now as we go out into the world that needs you so desperately, that we would spread the gospel, the good news that Christ has come, died, and was risen again so that we can join you in eternal glory, praising your name for eternity. And we thank you for that, Lord, and pray that you would be with us as we go into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
And let's close with the chorus of Forever Rain.